You're listening to highlights from One Planet Podcast's interview with Charlie Herzog-Young, climate change activist and author Spinning Out. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
I just wonder your reflections on AI in terms of helping us balance the energy grid or help us solve the climate crisis. You know, we also know that it consumes a lot of energy, but, you know, overall reflections on what that's also doing to society. It's creating more uncertainty. How do we navigate?
We could have spent the whole episode talking about this because I have a lot of half-baked opinions about this stuff. But I think that certain kinds of AI can be really helpful for, as you say, balancing the grid or by relieving humans of certain kinds of manual, repetitive or arduous labor, so long as that actually transfers into people having more time. And the economist John Maynard Keynes predicted that by now we'd all be working 15-hour weeks. And we've had enough of a rise in productivity that we could be working 15-hour weeks and have the same amount as people had decades ago. However, because of the structure of the economic system, that productivity rise has not transferred into more free time. It's been transferred into more stuff. And anyway, it's a long, long rabbit hole we could go down, but let's not. So I'm slightly scared about some of the even, say, left-wing utopian visions about AI freeing humans from work, because I don't think we have enough of a social and political infrastructure to actually reap most of the gains if that were to happen. But I think deeper down, I'm concerned because we call it artificial intelligence, but we don't even know what organic intelligence is. We have a very limited and very brittle understanding of what intelligence is, what the mind is. And we see this in, I've experienced it, you know, firsthand over and over again in medical circles. There's a very circuit-based treatment of the human mind already. And mental health issues are often treated as a glitch, something to be fixed, with something that will inevitably have massive side effects, massive ramifications, and much older, much more restorative modes of recovery, which ordinarily happened in the community, or by just acknowledging difference in people and building spaces for people with different kinds of psychologies, whether that's as shamans or as seers, mystics, or as, I don't know, just having a different personality. We now see the mind almost like it's a circuit board. And not only does that have really significant negative consequences for people with mental health issues, including being incarcerated, you know, I've been forcibly detained in hospitals several times, and the othering of large groups of people, it's also just a deeply broken and inaccurate model of the mind. So we know very, very, very little. And some people talk about there being three major aspects of mind. One is individual psychology and your physiology. One is in your social network, your social system. We're hypersocial beings. And the other is how we're connected to the ecosphere, what flows in and out of our bodies and in and out of our minds. And that's a two-way relationship in all of those cases. And so if we as a society are building what we're calling artificial intelligence, when we've got a deeply flawed and frankly quite infantile understanding of what intelligence is, then we're going to build something that is not in any way linked in healthily with the ecosystem that we exist in and depend on, let alone human society.
That's so true. And as you write, you know, we arrogantly prioritize human intelligence too, but there's, and I believe in this, there's an earth mind, the way trees communicate.
In many indigenous cultures, as you know, they believe that dogma and domination has no relationship with the earth, that it's taken us away from the language of the earth.
I'd say AI is undeniably incredibly clever, but it's very clever in a very particular kind of quantitative left brain way. And there are many other ways of being that the people who are designing artificial intelligence software tend not to prioritize or even see or think. And there are all kinds of tacit knowledges in human cultures all around the globe that couldn't even make their way into something that relies on that kind of infrastructure. And in my mind, as I said, I do think that there are some useful, utilitarian, appropriate uses of it. But they should be really boundaried and kept limited. But I think a lot of the growth of human dominance over the ecosystem and the dominance of a certain kind of human life over many other kinds of human life I'm worried that AI will serve those interests that have already subjugated and dominated because of the kinds of intelligence it chooses to put central to its way of operating. And that is cutting things up into smaller pieces in order to understand them better rather than looking at a genuine interacted whole. And there's also a certain amount, I'll just be honest, arrogance implicit in the way that AI is talked about, that it is somehow not just superior to, any single human mind, but it's come from a superior kind of human mind. And I don't know whether that makes much sense to you, but I think it's the same kind of human mind that has got us into the problems that we've already experienced, and the same kind of thinking is unlikely to solve those issues.
Oh, well, exactly. Yeah, it prioritizes the global north. And even as others from all around the world have been used and
Yeah.
not paid for building it.
And there's no way of the two of us stopping it. But I do think that it's similar to how I feel about space travel, is that rather than kind of reaching for something more or bigger or shinier or kind of more impressive or cleverer, it takes a bit of courage actually to just decide to slow down, sit down, think, admit our mistakes, and experiment with different ways of being, like different structures for societies, different priorities for economies, for instance. And we are quite addicted to just doing a different, more impressive version of what we've already done and calling it a solution. I don't think that it doesn't have any kind of benefit, AI. I think it does, but it's also a distraction from the much more obvious solutions. The problem is that the obvious solutions require a relinquishing of control and power and a spreading out and redemocratizing of the way that we exist on this planet.
We hope you've enjoyed this program and listening to the highlights of this podcast. If you'd like to get involved in One Planet Podcast or learn more about environmental projects, click on the subscribe button. Thank you for listening.